Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to Overnight America with Ryan Recker on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
And welcome back to Overnight America. We got to get Doug and Donna's Overnight America opener back in rotation there. We got to do that. Man, they did such a fantastic job with that. And I want to thank Michael Buran, who was just with us the past hour at the Wildlife Command Center. Man, that was so fun. That's something I couldn't do. When I was younger, I thought I was one of those people that could go in with no fear and just take care of business. And then eventually I started to come to the realization that I didn't know what I was doing. But then it all circles back. You know, this is going to sound really strange, but I feel that once you have a kid and you start to change diapers and you start to deal with the waste in the diapers, that you're not afraid what your hand touches anymore. It's like it desensitizes you. So I feel that that's the perfect training to go deal with things that you need to deal with. You know, I don't know how many times I've worked on things around the house, or perfect example, doing some repairs on the car and a part is stuck. And you've been working on it for an hour and you can't get the stupid thing to turn that should be turning. And you're at the point where it's like, I don't care if I lose a finger, I'm going to get this thing out. And you just start recklessly banging on it and to try to do everything you can. I feel I've been prepared to take care of animals like bats, but I don't understand how anyone could go in there and barehand a raccoon or anything like that, which is pretty remarkable. So if you missed that conversation, you have to go back and listen to it or download the podcast and listen to it later at KMOX.com/ONA. You know what? It's here again, up for discussion.
Ryan, 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 what's the trolley? Ding, ding, ding.
They look so happy. It's so viable, and everyone's using it, and it's not empty, and it's not blocking traffic.
Chug, chug, chug with the motor. Bonk, bonk, bonk with the brakes.
Clunk, clunk, clunk on the Del Mar Loop, and a million cars blocked in behind. They could really update the lyrics for something like this with the trolley song. I think we're going to get Tom Sullivan on sometime this week. And this was the headline last week. It looks like the trolley is set to shut down at the end of the year, December 29th. But there is a chance, the Hail Mary pass, that the bi-state takes it over. And it scares me when people with some sort of prominence in politics would go out there and say, oh, no, this is a good idea. We can't allow this thing to fail. No, this isn't like an auto company, man. You know, there's too big to fail stuff. We have to go out there and continue the charade like there's going to be some sort of, oh, I don't know, there's going to be some sort of future in this thing, like it's going to be viable at some point. So the CEO of the Bi-State Development is seeking board approval to consider folding the trolley's operations into the existing transit systems. And I just think that is absolute nonsense. It's what a terrible idea. You know, I had to post this up on Twitter earlier because only government would say, to save money, we must waste more money. Like, we're just going to continue to throw as much as we can at this thing because we're so far in debt. What difference does it make at this point? It's a terrible, terrible way to handle finances here in the city of St. Louis. And by the way, the bi-state, meaning Illinois, is involved. What in the world would Illinois want with the trolley in the Del Mar Loop? Honestly, it's a 2.2-mile loop. We'll just say 2 mile for the sake of it. And it doesn't go anywhere near Illinois. It doesn't help Illinois. In fact, people here don't even use it. No one uses it. It's sad. And the way I equate this, it's kind of like you buying a car and you, let's say at an auction, you buy a car at an auction, you don't know what you're getting, and you just really like it, and you think, oh, it's for a really great price. If this thing pans out, I can make a lot of money off of this thing. And then you get the car back, and you realize, oh boy, this needs a lot of work. So you got to change this, and you got to change that, then you got to change this. So the car you bought for 10 grand that you thought you'd be able to flip and sell for like 25, you end up putting 20 grand into it. Now it's 30,000. You're thinking, well, there's no way I'll be able to sell this for a profit. At what point do you say it's a loss? Like, what are you going to do? You're going to sell it for a loss? Or at some point do you say, well, like, financially speaking, it's just not possible. It's going to cost more money for me to repair and keep this charade going than it would be for me to just stop right now. And I think that's where we're at with the trolley. 50-some million dollars into it. It's something that no one rides. They need more money. They can't get ridership. They can't get money into it. They're asking, what, $500,000 shortfall a year, and there's no indication that it's going to get any better. They want to hire more people. They want to, and by the way, it's not like they're free and clear. They owe a lot of money to a lot of people. They were gifted money that I'm sure when they come out and say, hey, you're closing down shop, I want to recoup some of that. Now, they might not legally be able to do it, but they're going to try. They got the people that loaned them money. They're going to be trying to get it too. And I did this for my commentary tomorrow here at KMOX. Part of the whole idea of financing this was to tax the businesses that were on the route. That tax doesn't just automatically dissolve. It stays there. As far as I know, it just, they'll continue to collect taxes. And you know what those taxes are going to be used for? Not going to be helping anyone. It's not going to keep the trolley going. The taxes are going to be used basically to pay out the creditors that they still owe money to. So great, a tax that does zero community service or helps anyone in the community. It's just sad all the way around. I've rode the trolley a few times. The workers couldn't be friendlier, at least the drivers. You know, when I've been on it when it breaks down a couple of times, that's happened to me. So it's got to happen all the time. But the workers that they call out there, and, you know, they're wearing the yellow vest and they try to work these things out. They weren't the friendliest, but the drivers, I mean, they're like taking pictures with the kids. Oh, do you want to sit over here? Let's take a snapshot together. They couldn't have been more friendly. I feel terrible because they end of the year, they're going to be out of a job, and I'm sure it's a good job. Yeah, that's a shame. Hopefully they can find something they can do. But the thing is, are we just going to keep footing the bill for this over and over and over again? We know where this goes. And, you know, there was a commentary that Tom Sullivan emailed out before they talk about this at the Bi-State Development Board of Commissioners. And the interesting thing is, he's out there saying, you got to make this public. This is taxpayer money. Don't do this behind private doors. You owe it to us, the taxpayer, to know, to let us know what's going on. And this should be a public process. We should be able to observe and watch. So he puts this out here, too, and he said, I mentioned, and I'm going to read part of his commentary he sent to the Bi-State Development Board. In my correspondence this morning, I mentioned that I did not think Bi-State should get involved with the Loop Trolley, among other reasons, as Metro bus services, that not always getting people to jobs and to work. Given the many years that this has been a problem, I think there should be a priority on that rather than the Loop Trolley. He said, back in the 80s, when the light rail system was considered for this area, a big selling point was it would not require a tax increase. Of course, there was quite a deception. And he goes on to give examples of how Metrolink began. There was one sales tax for public transportation in St. Louis, in St. Louis County. Now there are four in the city and three in the county. And have you seen Metrolink getting any better? You know, where are the obligations here for the real? I mean, if you're going to throw money at public transportation, let's just say you have the opportunity to focus more on what's actually being used, Metrolink, and it's certainly got its problems. Or you can keep throwing money at this trolley that two or three people ride at any time, and they're just going to continue to ask for $500,000 here, $500,000 there for the entirety of its life until you finally pull the plug on it. I'm sorry, it's not worth it. Let's take some of your calls if you want to talk about this. 314-436-7900 or 800-925 1120. It's Overnight America, KMOX.
Now back to Overnight America on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
Man, there's a point where you feel bad for the trolley, but we're having way too much sympathy for this thing. You gotta cut it loose already. Come on now. Let's stop with this fantasy that it's going to be viable at some point. You just got to stop. 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. So part of this idea is the people responsible for the Del Mar Loop trolley said, well, I think we're going to be closing up shop by December 29th. Now the Bi-State are looking at taking over and assuming the debt. I mean, look how much money's owed to this thing. Ugh, come on now. Let's go to Don, who's calling in. Hi, Don.
Yeah, how you doing there?
Good.
Yeah, I'm going to ask you a question. Is this a sort of kind of like what brings this area down? Like, you've got Steve Stengler, you know, selling things off and getting money in return. And, you know, it's just the whole thing. There's no oversight here on any of these projects. Everybody gets some fangled idea. I don't know how they get, who they talk to and convincing them to give this kind of money from the government, you know, for this type of, transportation, quote, transportation needs. But, you know, this whole area is just littered with these type of projects. You know, someone builds a Walmart in some other part of town, then someone wants to build another, you know, like a Costco, like in New City, you know. They want to eradicate all those businesses down there and build a Costco using taxpayers' money for TIFs, you know, what is the TIF financing? For supposedly, you know, for areas that need, you know, that are not well-to-do type areas economically. But, you know, it's funny how all these areas try to outdo each other, like different municipalities, and nothing ever comes out of it. This is why the region is so stagnant. They throw money after different projects, and no one knows where it's going to. And then don't they have people that do number crunching? Like, how many riderships were they expecting for a month at the beginning? I mean, didn't they know that? I mean, it just doesn't, it boggles the mind. What? People, you mean 10,000 people going to the history museum every day? I mean, come on, you use common sense. I mean, if it's Ballpark Village, yeah, okay, build a trolley down there, but don't just build a trolley in the middle of nowhere where you got crime people, you know, crime riddle area, people, you know, breaking their cars, and then I'm sure the people that are committing the crime are also riding the trolley to go to the history museum. Thanks,
Don. The people committing the crime are going to the history museum. Huh. All right, 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. The part that I wanted to laugh at all of this is the idea that, oh, we're going to have to repay all this money back to the federal government, which I think it's very unlikely something like that would happen. I don't think the government would ask for it back. And as if the rest of the country doesn't already know the hardships and the failures of this thing. I mean, the Wall Street Journal wrote about it, New York Times. I mean, they write about these things, and everyone knows this is a big failure up here. So what's the government going to do? They're going to look at us and say, oh, well, we want you to keep this charade going. Or do you think they already know it's a failure? And do you think that in the future, when they try to award some sort of grant to St. Louis, this isn't going to come up for discussion, which is, hey, you told us this was feasible. You took our money before. You know, by the way, even if we do keep this thing going and the government does consider us for some sort of novelty grant in the future for something that's trolley-like, it's not like just because we got this thing running what they're going to say is, well, the trolley's still losing money. You're still throwing money at that. Why in the world would we want to invest in something that's going to be a financial loss for this area? Because they don't want to invest in it anyway. So I think the federal government angle to all of this is a moot point. Keep it going. Don't keep it going. They're still going to question giving us money because they know it doesn't work, right? And here, how about this? Let's do a quick little, scenario. So let's say there is some sort of takeover by the Bi-State, and they decide to look at this and they decide to put it on hold, or they decide to keep it going and keep the charade going. Okay, you're telling me you got about 700 grand in reserves just to throw at something you know is going to be asking for another $500,000 by this time next year to keep it going because you know they're not going to be able to keep it up and running. How about this scenario too? How about you put it all on hold? How about you let this thing fold, all right? The organization that's going to continue to collect these taxes will keep collecting these taxes, so the underlying parent umbrella company will still be alive, even though it might not be operating the trolley. That'll at least still be alive, most likely until all the creditors are paid, because there's still a lot of money that's owed on this. how about you allow for them to close down the trolley? And how about you allow for an audit to happen so we can see where that $52 million went? How about we try to figure out what we spent this money on to begin with? How about we decide if it was responsible from the get-go? How about we find out if they were responsible with their money or not? Because if we can do an audit and we can look at how much was wasted here, maybe that will be a bigger determining factor if we should keep this thing going or not, or if we should keep throwing money at it. Wouldn't you like to know where this money went? I mean, how much does it cost to put 2 miles of rail down? Look how many years they spent on this. How much labor intensive. How much does it cost to refurbish these things and who got paid? Okay. How about we find out all of these questions and get them answered before we do anything else, before we just keep throwing money at it? That might be a better solution to all of this. Let them stop operating. Let the umbrella parent company that's collecting the taxes and paying the debts continue to do that, because, you know, the tax in those areas aren't just going to dissolve immediately. I don't think they would, at least. And then that gives you time to run an audit. That seems like to be the best case scenario. And let me put this too. How about we throw out another scenario? Let's say you're an organization or you're a business owner and you're thinking about acquiring another company. What's one of the very first things you do when you try to acquire a company? You open up their books. You look at their finances. You see if everything's in order. You know what you're getting into before you assume or buy that company, because you need to put an evaluation on what it's worth. So the buy state's going to consider taking this over, buying this out, without looking at the books first? Because if there hasn't been an audit and there hasn't been anyone being accountable for the way this money was being spent, why in the world would the people running buy state think of this as a responsible way of taking over anything, taking any responsibility for it? It's a terrible idea. Terrible idea. This is one more point I'll make, and I'll be done with the trolley for today. I think we'll have to get to Tom Sullivan sometime later this week. If you were to try to put up collateral for all of the different debt that's owed to this sort of thing, what would you put up for this? Because that's the way I think you need to look at this as well. Because this money doesn't grow on trees, and we're not just flushed with cash last time we checked here in the city of St. Louis. We also have money everywhere you look. What collateral are you going to put up? So the collateral could be, you know, taking money away for improvements to Metrolink. The money could be taking $500,000 away from fill in the blank. You tell me, what's the collateral that you're going to bet on this thing that it's going to be a worthwhile investment for the future? And I want you to name what you're going to take money away from in order to pay for this. I want you to name it. I think that's important. If the answer is we're just going to go into debt, you should say that too. And you tell me if that's what the taxpayers want here. This is Overnight America, KMOX. It's 10:32 in St. Louis, Missouri. Thank you for spending time with us tonight. Or if you're listening to this on the podcast, thank you for hanging out with us there at KMOX.com/ONA, or maybe you pick it up on your favorite podcast app. Just search for Overnight America. Mike calling in from St. Louis. Hi.
How you doing?
Good.
Anyway, about that trolley.
Right.
I got ideas. It's a piece of junk. Instead of charging taxes, here's what I think would be a good idea to try. Why don't they let the piece of junk sit somewhere and somebody can go on and sit and get their picture taken just for good memories or bad memories? And they charge them $5. And you left. Well, you said a picture of you and your son, you know.
Well, I guess they could sell it to the Transportation Museum. I think they're always looking for things like that. Or if there's a big aftermarket for this sort of thing anyway, they make it sound like these things are so hard to get. If they can sell them for a premium, I guess there would be buyers out there.
Yeah, see, when they pay no taxes, say, like, in your son, you are experienced riding it. But since it's a piece of junk instead of taxes, I wouldn't mind doing it. You just go in there and have a picture, like me wiping my head, a picture taken. Oh, we had a picture taken on a trolley and put it somewhere in the home, you know, and charge them $5. You know, at least you'd be making some money off of it. And as some producers thought, it wasn't a bad idea. Unless you think it should be more, it's cheap.
Yeah.
$5.
You go out of your way to take a picture with it.
Sure, why not? If it don't run, it's better than sitting there not doing nothing.
Yeah. Well, it costs $2 to ride it now. Two or three, I think it's $2 to ride it now. So that'd be more expensive than if you were to just go do it now while it takes you somewhere else.
But you get your picture taken. You didn't get your picture taken when you're riding it, right?
Well, if you got a cell phone, you can just take a snap a photo of yourself on it.
No, don't be cheap. No, you want an actual picture from a professional photographer or something like that, $5. Take that home with you and your son or your wife. Say you're real romantic. Take your wife and have your wife's picture, your kid for $5, and just put it away for good memories.
Real romantic. Go take a photo on the trolley.
$5 a picture, memory that you did. You can talk about it. Well, we had a picture. We wrote it. We had a picture taken since it didn't work. I mean, $5 and didn't have to pay no tax. It's better not making no money.
I get it. Thank you, Mike. Good to hear from you.
Bye-bye.
And now that sounds like a very, very romantic endeavor. Honey, I have the perfect date night for you. What we're going to do is we're going to go take ourselves to the now defunct Loop Trolley. It's only $5 a person. We'll get in there. We'll dim the lights down, maybe get a little candlelight going in there. The professional photographer will come in. It'll look just all that nice. And then what happens? You get a photo at the end like a Polaroid, like you're going to get a picture on Santa's lap. Or back in the day when you would go to Sears for the family photos, they'll have the backdrops to make it look like there's a bunch of people there. Kind of like that Beatles album where they had the cardboard cutouts all standing there. Oh, look, at everyone's on the trolley today. And there you are having a good time. The romantic day on the trolley. That sounds like a children's book. I kind of like that idea. Well, maybe not. Maybe you don't want to use the word romantic in a children's book. There was one other thing I wanted to get to, and you heard it in the news here with Alex Degman, but KMOV's got this up. The Melville School District principals responding to parents after the, quote, culturally sensitive assignment was given to fifth graders last week. What a weird thing to do for fifth graders, honestly. It's Blades Elementary, and the principals, Jeremy Booker, said the assignment was part of a social studies class meant to address market practices that influenced early settlements in America. I had to be reminded, it's 2019. Why was this a good idea? One of the questions, and you know, they asked all kinds of different questions on this. Let me give you some examples. You tell me the one that sounds like it's a little bit out of place. And I think this is a way to introduce the markets to kids. You know, there's the supply and demand, right? And if you have a supply of something, a demand of something. So, for example, it says, you live in Connecticut River Valley, which is a good place to farm. You grow grain there. Your product is to trade is grain. Set your price for a bushel of grain. And then the kids are supposed to fill out the price. And it says, you may trade for any item you'd like. So you have a commodity. You set the price for the commodity. And then you could go work with trading with other people. Now, keep in mind, I'm sure there's only limited finances that you would have, and it goes to show you how the markets could set the different rates. Like, you know, if a price is too high, then people aren't going to buy it. They're going to go buy something else. Like, here's another example. You live along one of the major harbors and ports in Massachusetts. The land isn't great, so you're a fisherman. Your product trade is codfish. Set your price for a single codfish. You may trade with any item you like. You know, and then they have things like that. You're a fisherman, you trade herring. One is you hunt whales and your resource is fat for oil to burn. Another one is you got a farm, you have fruit trees, your products are apples and tomatoes, you know, things like that. And then one of the questions on here that apparently was assigned to one of the kids. Let me read this to you, and this is where they got in trouble. Obviously, they got in trouble. You own a plantation or farm and therefore need more workers. You begin to get involved in the slave trade industry and have slaves work on your farm. Your product to trade is slaves. Set your price for a slave. And then it says after the lines where the kids would fill in the price per slave. It says, these could be worth a lot. You may trade for any items you'd like. Obviously, that's a terrible idea. And it's a little bit weird that grown adults in the education field didn't have a red flag raised when they were doing this assignment. And number one, did they come up with this on their own? Or was this something that was part of another assignment that they were using as a resource and they didn't catch it? Or they decided not to exclude it because they were just taking it off the shelf and just throwing it out there for the kids to use? Or was this actually something that a teacher came up on their own, decided to do it? So here's what the principal said. The assignment was culturally insensitive. The teacher has expressed significant remorse. The teacher has been placed on administrative leave as of Monday night. That was the latest. And you can find that at KMOV, but you, Alex Degman's covering this story too. What a weird, stupid thing to do. What were they thinking, honestly? This is a homework. This is why it's so important if you're a parent to pay attention to what your kids are bringing home. Know what their homework assignments are. Go over their homework assignments. If you got a smartphone and you're sitting at the table and you're scrolling through social media and blah, 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 and you're not paying attention and your hands off and your kids are doing whatever they want to do, you know, they're going off and they're looking at this on the internet, or they're going off and they're playing this on their video games, or they're going out and they're, you know, talking to friends and whatever it is, you got to be so closely involved with your kids to know what they're into. And it's a shame that you also have to pay attention to the assignments that are coming home from the school anymore, because it's like more and more there's objectionable material in these things. Now, it's not always going to be as clear as an assignment like this. And this happened over in Melville. I mean, it's right here in our neighborhood. And sometimes it's a little more questionable because it may raise things that have questions to your faith. It may raise some things that have questions to your beliefs, some things that may be important to your household that they either discount or say that's a bad thing or whatever it may be. They may be taking stances on things that they shouldn't be taking stances on. You got to pay attention to these things. Now, I know that there's that term helicopter parent. You got to watch out for this. You got to watch out for that. And anymore, you have to safeguard. It's your responsibility that your kids are taken care of, that your kids are safe. And it's your responsibility that you know what your kids are consuming. There's never been more options and availability for these type of terrible, toxic things to leak into your household. And you have all the devices that they already have that gives them the opportunity to leak it in. You know, back in the day, you know, if you were to go back, you'd look, the television was the thing that had the potential to bring in some pretty terrible things into the household. And it still is. Radio can do that too, depending on what you're listening to. Computers on your computer, there's some pretty terrible things your kids could get a hold of that you don't want them exposed to if you're not paying attention to it. And there's a lot of predators that want to take advantage of your young children. It's a terrible, terrible world where people prey on the youth. Other people in the playground, the neighborhoods, it's just 2019. It's not the same as it was in 1970. Just not the same. And you got to realize that, and you got to pay attention to that sort of thing. And I guess now part of it is just paying attention to what's being brought home in your kid's backpack, having conversations with them. It will pay dividends when they're older, though. When you build that foundation for them, when you build that level of communication with them, too, where they can talk to you about these things that seem objectionable, and they know, they'll know what might feel a little bit weird or objectionable, and you can have that relationship with them where it doesn't feel awkward or unnecessary to talk to them with it, and they don't feel like it's awkward for them to talk about it either. So keep that in mind. Always have your guard up. The only way you could possibly navigate this world with kids anymore. This is Overnight America, KMOX.
This is Overnight America, sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com on KMOX.
So I wanted to get your take on something that happened to me over the weekend. Something really strange happened to me, and I could really use your experience if this is okay, if this is not okay. As I mentioned, my wife and I had our date night on Saturday night. We went to go see the documentary. It's called No Safe Spaces. It's the Adam Carolla, Dennis Prager documentary about, you know, free speech and how it's really being shouted down, and particular college campuses are not so good at harboring free expression, free thought much anymore. So I wanted to see this. My wife did not. I ended up dragging her out. I had to do a hard sell, and I'm glad that she went, and she's glad she went. But I know she's going to dangle that over my head. The next time she wants to do something, I'll have no veto power. We went out, I got myself some chicken wings, man. It was a great little date night. By the time I got to the movie theater, I thought, oop, better hit this bathroom up before we go. Don't want to get gross or anything. So we buy our tickets. We go into the theater. I go to the bathroom, and the stalls are taken. I'm like, okay, I'll wait. You know, I kind of have to. When one of the stall doors open up, a dude pops out with a full thing of popcorn. He was in the bathroom stall with a tub of popcorn and acted like it was no big deal. Now, hold up, hold up, hold up. Is that normal? Number one, do you take food past that threshold? And number two, certainly you don't take food inside of a stall. If I had to guess what he was doing, he probably was there alone or whatever it was, and he didn't want to leave his popcorn unattended, so he thought the safest thing to do is to set it in the bathroom stall with him and maybe try to maneuver it so it's sitting on top of the toilet paper holder, or maybe he keeps it down. I don't know. You don't set it on the ground. Ah, that's so icky. Food should not cross that threshold. Open food should not cross that threshold. But he acted like it was no big deal. So what's the etiquette there? Is that okay? Honestly, is it okay that someone takes popcorn into the bathroom, or is it no big deal? Honestly, 314-436-7900 is the number, or 800-925-1120. I need some experience here, because when I went back into the movie theater, I immediately told my wife, like, the movie's still showing the previews. I didn't care if we were talking at that point. And I say, honey, I got to tell you what just happened. I went into the bathroom and a guy had a tub of popcorn in the stall with him. I hope he wasn't eating it in there. What if he was like, I'll just take a couple of little kernels or whatever. That should be a big no-no. In general, even at your house, you don't take food inside the bathroom at your house, do you? Like, let's say you had some guests over and they had food and they took it in there and they walked out and you saw them with food in their hand out of the bathroom. That's even weird inside of a private residence, let alone inside of a public restroom, like something like that. And that's only the guy's restroom you'd see that. You'd never see that in the women's restroom, would you? I guess that's like the catch-22. At some point, you bought the popcorn, you're alone or whatever, and you don't trust to leave it somewhere. So you're going to keep it with you at all times? Why didn't you think your strategy over, which is you go to the bathroom first, and then you come out and you buy the popcorn, and then you walk into the theater after that? Wouldn't that be a much better thing to do? I think the scenario would play itself out. You got to play a little bit of strategy games here. So I don't know. You can text in too at 314-436-7900. And I'm still trying to reel over the idea of what happened here. Kevin's calling in. Hi, Kevin.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Hey, what theater were you at?
This is the Marcus Theaters at the mall in St. Peter's.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, they're one of the new ones that's carrying that new product that looks like popcorn, but it's actually called poopcorn. So that's probably what he was doing.
No puns like that. Oh, so it was the giant bucket, too. He must have spent like $20 on this thing.
Making it with extra butter, baby.
Oh, no, Kevin. Have you ever seen anything like that in a restroom?
No, that's gross. But that's gross. But now there's a thing out that I read while I was down in Florida. I'm almost home now, but I just drove 1,200 miles back from Fort Myers Beach.
Oh, wow.
But, yeah, they says the new accelerator dryers actually, instead of getting your hands clean and dry, they actually spread the feces even more.
Yes, they do. You're right. All right. That's absolutely true, Kevin. I totally believe that. Thank you for calling in.
Bye.
I want you to think about this. I want you to think about what they tell you. Like, when they do tests in bathrooms, they always say they find a little bit of that fecal matter on your toothbrush because it's just the particles get up into the air and they spread. It's just the way things go. You bring the popcorn inside of there, there's probably particles from the other people using that restroom sprinkled on top of that popcorn. Ugh, gross. And the hand dryers, yes, they've said that forever. They try to make it sound like it's ecologically better for you to dry your hands with the jets as opposed to using the paper towels. But I've known this even back when I was in college, I knew about this. Wipe your hands with the towels. What happens when you wipe your hands with soap and water and, you know, you go and you want to dry it off, you bring the towel, what happens is the gross water and the soap and all of that, the germs, they transfer from your hand to the paper towel. It's soaked up, absorbed through that. If you put your hands over a an air dryer, like those jet dryers, what happens is you're drying the germs on your hand. You're counteracting the whole process of getting off your hands, getting the germs and stuff off of there. And yes, it's just flying around all the fecal matter into the air that's already floating in this place. Ugh. Jeff's calling in from Ferguson. Hi.
Hey, how's it going tonight?
Oh, good.
I got one quick thing about the schools, the school project or question thing.
Right.
That was a little creepy, but maybe they should, maybe not for fifth grade, maybe more seniors, if they were going to do that at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, fifth grade's a little young to introduce them
maybe
in that way.
Maybe more of a senior level, well, junior or senior.
Even in general, if you think about what you're doing there, and you're coming up with the what the value of a human is in the slave trade. So still, I don't know how, if you wanted to do that assignment, you could have done it a million other different ways as to doing it that
I'm
way.
I'm just saying, I mean, totally inappropriate, though. But the other thing about the popcorn, maybe the guy was trying to cover the smell for something he was smoking.
Do you think that is a strong enough smell? I guess the popcorn might be.
Depending on how fresh it is.
Yeah, I guess that's an interesting thing. So, I don't know. That sounds like a lot of money to spend to hide the smell when you can just do it in your car in the parking lot before you go in or whatever. Yeah. Maybe. I don't know. That could be something.
It was just something I was thinking about. Well, now, was it at the movie theater or was this like a...
This was at the movie theater, this documentary, there's only two places it was shown in the area. One was in Chesterfield, one in St. Peter's.
Your wife is definitely going to make you pay for that one, though, too.
Oh, I know. She's already told me. She's like, man, I'm going to cash in. When I cash in, I'm cashing in big. She also leveraged, I'm allowed to order whatever I want when I get to the concession stand, and boy, did she. So she goes in there, she gets the large popcorn and drink, which basically set me back a car payment. By the time we got in there, it was fine, but it was... it was just the cost of doing business to get her in to see a documentary I wanted to see.
Like I said, I was thinking maybe it was covering the smell for something else.
All right. Well, that could be a possible scenario. Thank you, Jeff. Good to hear from you.
Good night.
Yeah, the smells are already plentiful when you go into a guy's bathroom. I've never walked into a guy's bathroom and said, ooh, this smells good in here. It doesn't happen. I don't know if the women's restroom's any different. If you were to walk into a women's restroom, how many women would say, oh, I really like this, smells great? No, no one says that. You go into a public restroom anywhere, you don't get that. And it's the end of the night, so it's probably before they go in there and actually clean up the house or whatever it is. 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. So is it okay to take food into the bathroom? I can't believe what I witnessed there. I would hope to get some more calls on this. Don't leave me hanging. I really need to know. Maybe this is just something. Maybe I'm not seeing something that I should see in this story. There could be some underlining thing that I'm just not getting. We'll take some more of your calls coming up in the next hour or two. And, there was some more impeachment talk today. I got a couple of clips, so I guess we can play those. But I'd rather talk about popcorn in the bathroom. This is Overnight America on KMOX.
Your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.